Good morning. It is Monday, August the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We come now into Acts chapter 28. Not the end of the Acts of the Apostles, but the end of the recorded journey we have in Scripture. And it's going to be a good week. It's been a long journey. We've learned a lot. We've grown. Let's see if we can put the punctuation on it this week. But let's begin with consecration. Let's find ourselves in the presence of God at the feet of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled On Amazing Grace and Learning to Travel Outside of Karma. Our text is Acts chapter 28, today verses 1 through 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Just when we thought these kind-hearted islanders might be people of the way, we learn otherwise. After the arrest and the ambush conspiracies and the 2-year imprisonment and the 2-week storm at sea and the shipwreck, Paul proceeds to get bitten by a snake. And not just any snake. This was a viper. Probably the kind they make National Geographic shows about that kills you in 5 minutes or so. As a throwback to yesterday, favor doesn't mean the snake doesn't bite you. It means it doesn't kill you. People tend to be generally clueless much of the time. Within seconds of the snake biting Paul, they jump to the conclusion that Paul must be a murderer and was being punished by the goddess Justice. 20 minutes later, when Paul didn't drop dead from the snake bite, they were adding Paul to their pantheon of gods. From a complete stranger to a convicted murderer to a god, and all in the span of a half hour. People tend to be generally clueless much of the time. What's with this? We desperately want our world to make sense, to be explainable. You know, for every effect, there must be a cause. It's true to an extent, but it is a short step from our cause and effect mentality to the realm of karma. Jesus got this a lot. One day, after coming upon a man who was blind from birth, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That's John 9:2. They're asking the karma question. Which cause led to this ill effect? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Jesus 1, karma 0. This campfire scene by the seashore looks a lot more like karma thinking than anything else. What evil must this man have done to warrant being bitten by a snake? The thinking behind that thinking goes like this. I mean, the snake didn't bite me. My record must be clean. We all tend to think things are going well for us because we deserve them to go well, or because we haven't done anything that merits some kind of punishment. That's karma thinking. This approach leads us to instinctively judge people for whom things are going badly. They must have done something wrong, we think. We can tend to make the opposite correlation when things are going well for someone. They must be living right, we think. This is our sense of justice. And here's the kicker. This is how we treat people if we think in these karma-like ways. We bless or curse people according to our assessment of what they deserve. This is the antithesis of amazing grace. Isn't it good news that God is not like us? Jesus could not have been more clear in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Here's the kicker. "He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's Matthew 5, 43 to 48. The great news is that God our Father, through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, wills to make us like his Son, who is perfect love. He is amazing grace personified. Do you believe it's possible? Are you ready to go for it? It means we will have to learn to travel outside of karma, as Bono put it so well in his song, aptly titled, Grace. I'll link it here today in the reading. Translation: people are clueless much of the time. Love them anyway. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I do long to be like you, which means you must be in me. And to that end, I pray, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that I might become the very love of God in this world. so that my consecration would become your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary for the glory of God our Father. Amen. The journal prompts today, do you tend toward karma thinking in your assessment of why people are either suffering in difficult situations or apparently blessed beyond measure? In other words, they had it coming. How might the calculus of amazing grace enter into your thinking? We're going to sing that today. We're going to sing Amazing Grace here in a couple of minutes. We're going to sing the Chris Tomlin version, My Chains Are Gone. It's in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. It's number 574. If you want to get the page turned, hope you guys have got you a hymnal. We've got a new supply in the warehouse, in the seed house, and we'd love to get one in your hands. We're going to be singing our way through Exodus once we finish working through Acts. We're going to sing hymns every day, all fall. I want to know you're singing with me. So order a hymnal today. You won't regret it. The two books that have held history together, the Bible and the hymnal. Well, this whole notion of karma thinking, we're all infected by it. And it's common, and it's really wired into our broken, sinful human nature. But the nature of God wills to become our second nature, right? Adam is our first nature. Jesus is our second nature. And amazing grace, we want to become second nature to us. It's just like, that's just who we are. And amazing grace doesn't make the snap judgment of sort of karma calculus, which is like, well, they must have done something. Their parents must have done something. They must be under some kind of curse to warrant the fact that this happened to them. And the unsaid underbelly of that is that, well, there's also a reason this didn't happen to me. It's a very broken way of thinking about people. And when that text, you know, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, I believe the word there, this is not perfection as in flawlessness. That's where we go wrong. It's perfection as in like fullness. And there is a fullness of God that is ever admitting of more fullness. Be perfect, he says. Teleos, I believe, is the word. That's like end game. It's like that's where this is headed. And of course, it's not something we're capable of generating. To be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, spoken here by Jesus, really means to be filled with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of, it's a perfection not in performance, it's a perfection in love. It's that heart that is turned outward and open to others. That's amazing grace. That's that bearing towards people that streams right from heaven through our bodies here on earth in this world. That's what we need, friends, amazing grace. And you know what grace is? You've heard mercy. You know, mercy is not getting the punishment you deserve. Grace goes even further and gives you the reward that you didn't even earn, that you didn't have coming. It gives you beyond what you deserved. That's how good God is. And that's how he wants to make us as his agents in this world. People who like almost are too good to be true. That's what points people to God. Well, let's sing. Let's sing Amazing Grace. We're going to go with that great My Chains Are Gone chorus. We'll sing four verses. We may even throw in a fifth, even though it's not in this particular version. We put both versions in our hymnal, 574. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. And my chains are gone, and I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Now let's throw in that last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen. It's fitting that we sing that great hymn of the church as we come to the last chapter of our recorded Acts of the Apostles. So I could hear you out there going for it today. I even sent some tears flowing out there. You know, grace is hard for us because so many of us, we live in an economy of like, I paid for it, I earned it, I worked hard, I deserved it. And grace just crushes that whole economy. And it rends the heart, and all of that economy is poured out. And the goodness of God, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. And that makes us a totally different kind of person. You know it when you see it, right? And I sense that a lot of Christians, a lot of followers of Jesus need a fresh outpouring of the amazing grace of God over them and into them. Can we ask for that today? Well, get your seats, friends, because this world is desperate for amazing grace, and you are the carrier of it. You're sowing the seeds of amazing grace everywhere you go today and into everyone you meet. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.